This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And a good Wednesday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Red Hot, waking up this morning. Jensen Lewis in Cleveland, Ohio. We got a lot to get to today. Of course, Tarek Skubal making his debut. And talk some golf and preview what we're going to see in the Wyndham Championship tomorrow. Some injuries around the NFL and even Major League Baseball. But Jensen, before we get to H&H to kick off the show, are you waking up? Are you just on fire this morning? Are you radiating heat from your picks last night?
I was nice. A good night. We remain humble in victory and gracious in defeat. And boy, we needed a nice little turnaround. So yesterday was beautiful. Congrats to all VSiN Pro subscribers. A perfect 9-0 night. And a couple of big boys. I won't spoil it because we'll talk a little Tarek Skubal Dodger debut coming up here in a moment. But this is now the unique time of the year in baseball, Dave. We'll dive in on the Daily Diamond where you are getting a lot of call-ups. You are getting a lot of scene shifting as far as new guys and new places. So advantageous spots to be able to take advantage. And we certainly were able to last night.
I, too, like to live dangerously and played the Mets last night in Cleveland. And somehow that got home 6-2. That was kind of nice, too. I'm going to have JVT join the program as well from Money Moves, of course, and Pod to the Features podcast and the Great West Rentals. Wednesdays with Wes as we break down that Wyndham Championship tomorrow before we get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. But let's begin right there in the north side of Chicago where Tarek Skubal was making that debut in today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
You know, we've got our resident Dodger fan right here on VSiN by the Books, Larry Mir, back in Las Vegas. He's very excited, and he should be, about Tarek Skubal and just kind of this dream team that you have right now with the Dodgers. Now, didn't go great in their debut last night for Skubal in Chicago, but just the fact remains to know that that's what you're going to have down the stretch has got to be comforting for Dodger fans. But, Jensen, right now they are in a bit of a tailspin right now.
It is interesting to watch. And yesterday, a real great opportunity for the Chicago Cubs to continue their momentum. They certainly did that. An early home run by Kyle Tucker, a former Cub, able to put the Dodgers ahead. Mm-hmm. And then Dansby Swanson able to come back and be able to get the equalizer there. And then they wouldn't look back. They put together a couple of dink and dunks and then were able to make a couple of big innings stand up there late. Bullpen was awesome. So 5-1 Dodgers. Weird to say, Dave, they're going to try and avoid the sweep here later in this series finale. But you look back, they are, 8-9 since July 15th. So, again, since the All-Star break, when you look at where this team has been, it has been a bit of a struggle. And anxious to see, because on the pitching side of it, I think that's where we kind of looked. A staff ERA, Dave, of 4.62. And very pedestrian. Heck, kind of shake your head like, whoa, did not see that one coming. But we all know what this team is built for, right? It's all about getting that crescendo in September, having the momentum heading in October. But for right now, I would say selfishly, very excited about my under 102.5 win total for the regular season for Dodger Blue. I don't think they're going to be down and out for too much longer.
Skubal, by the way, 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned, 2 walks, 6 Ks, did give up the 1 home run, as you mentioned there. So still not bad for Skubal on the numbers front, but the Dodgers trying to avoid back-to-back sweeps after getting swept away by Boston and trying to avoid that tonight against the Cubs as well. George Lombard Jr., by the way, made his debut for the Yankees and got a home run and a nice 2-0 win for the Yanks. So they were hoping for a little help from the Rockies, didn't get it, couldn't hold up that lead. So Tampa Bay holds serve, but Jensen, I think if you're a Yankee backer, too, and seeing some of the influx, a new right-handed bat, a left-handed bat, and bringing up George Lombard Jr., they're hoping that's going to be enough to stem the tide until you get your big boppers back in the middle of the lineup.
Third youngest shortstop to make his major league debut in Yankee history at the ripe old age of 21 and change. I got to tell you, there are a couple of plays he made at shortstop, and Anthony Volpe, shout out for your service. In one night, it felt like, oh my God, this was insane to watch. He went in the hole and started a double play. And Paul O'Neill said it perfectly. He goes, you haven't seen a double play turned like that by the Yankees all year. And then a dude comes up and hits a home run in his major league debut to really get the momentum going here. Great job, by the way. David Bednar came in for a four out save. It was a huge bases loaded spot in the eighth inning. Cardinals had a chance to punch through, but he gets it done. He has been not only a saving grace in every sense of the phrase, but he has been the stalwart back there that has kept this ship afloat. Very interested to see how Lombard does here moving forward. But for a night, Dave, Brian Cashman has acquitted himself, saying like, hold everything, people. We got a guy. He looked like the guy for a night last night.
He really did. That the place was jumping last night as it normally is there in the Boogie Down. And the way he looked back into that dugout after hitting that home run, turning around the bag there at first base, just that youthful exuberance. It's kind of cool to see there for the Yankees in that 2-0 win. How about this money that they're doing out in the NFL? Zay Flowers, yeah, full bloom indeed. 4 years, $140 million extension with the Ravens here. And by the way, the Bears giving away some money in the offensive line to Darnell Wright. 4 years, $116 million extension there. But Jensen, Zay Flowers is a nice player. This is big time money that they're giving away. I didn't know he was going to get that kind of bag.
Age 25 here at the age of signing this massive extension, Dave, only Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Jamar Chase, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba have a higher total value of the contract. And to put it in perspective, Dave, Zay Flowers was just handed that 4-year, $140 million deal. That is exactly the same contract that the Minnesota Vikings gave Justin Jefferson in 2024 at age 25. So if you're looking at the confidence of this Raven front office saying, wow, we think you're the guy. Whoa. That is a statement. Now I feel good because I picked the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl. I hope that he's healthy, and we all know the great eight needs to be healthy as well. But boy, that is some serious change considering the names now just in total contract value that Zay Flowers has entered into.
Remember, this is the difference now between the NFL and Major League Baseball. A massive difference is there is a cap in the NFL. And so you wonder what that's going to look like next year with that type of money. But the cap does keep going up as they keep buying into the system, if you will. That cap keeps going up, up, up in a way. Maybe more money there for everybody. A lot of money going out to Zay Flowers. You know, I say it every day in the show, and I'm going to continue saying it, sadly, that we're going to give you some more injury updates from camp. And this is a bad one down there in the ATL, team I really like and a player I really like in Jaylon Walker, and he's going to be gone now. It is believed for the entirety of the year with a torn ACL. Jensen, this was a key contributor last year on a defense that really turned things around. Remember, going into last year, they could get no pressure on the quarterback. This is a big reason why they got pressure on the quarterback last year. And one of the reasons why I really like this team is I kind of felt like their defense was set. It is anything but set with Walker potentially gone for the year.
Yeah, really tough. Another piece of news, too. And again, I know you're not going to want to hear this either. Now, the Los Angeles Chargers have had issues with their offensive line. Rashawn Slater exited with an apparent injury, but he was a big reason why I had that question mark about this team. If you could promise me that you would have at least three quarters of the year where you had a fully healthy Rashawn Slater, Joe Ault, I could buy into it. I don't know about you. Let me ask you, because you've done this a long time, you know, way back in the day. Is this the largest amount of key positional players that have had significant injuries? This, we have not even gotten to kickoff tomorrow of the Hall of Fame game. It might just be me because it feels like it's a domino every single day. Does it feel that way to you kind of in the perspective of the years that you've covered the sport?
You know, I've seen it a lot, obviously, day in and day out as the years have gone on, but not like these season-ending injuries before you even begin the season. That's the rough part for me, is that you're starting to see these ACLs, and there are some soft tissue. I'm not a doctor, but you see a lot of these soft tissue that people are talking about with conditioning, getting to camp and that sort of thing. These athletes feel like they're in better condition than when I started covering them. They weren't. A lot of times they went to camp to get in condition. Now they're in condition when they get to camp. So I don't know what's going on with these injuries, Jensen. They feel a little bit flukier in nature. You mentioned the Rashawn Slater one. That's significant, too. You got to keep an eye on that now because, again, I was banking on those tackles being back. Joe Ault is back, but now Slater is already a little bit dinged up there. So check out these things, but that's a devastating one for Falcons backers. And I really like that football team coming in. I got to reevaluate before we even get to week one. I've been saying a lot about Carson Beck this year, too, that maybe if you want to look for a long shot for rookie of the year, that might not be a bad way to go because I think he's going to get time. Well, we're going to start to see it tomorrow night in the Hall of Fame game. So we know that's going to be Kenny Pickett on the other side here for Carolina. We now know it's Carson Beck for Arizona, Jensen. I think you might see a lot of this kid here in the preseason.
Looking forward to it. Again, just to reiterate Steve Mackinnon's trend here, going back to 2013, that underdogs there in the Hall of Fame game are on a 5-game outright win streak, 8-2-1 ATS also in that span since 2013. So not that I'm going to blindly bet it tomorrow, but that's a pretty strong trend, my friend. And the reports and the video coming out of Cardinals camp look like Carson Beck has been outstanding thus far. Now let's see it at game speed. As Marty Herney said, that's one thing, you know, going up against the cardboard cutouts, if you will. Let's see what happens when the bullets start flying. So going to be fun to see Kenny Pickett and Carson Beck doing some battle tomorrow night.
You know, we call this pole position in college football, and we do have the first preseason coaches poll is out. I don't think it's a massive surprise that you got Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia. Maybe some Indiana faithful might be saying, hey, what about us? Aren't we the reigning defendings? Jensen, not really shocking when you see the way the NASCAR pole position for college football begins in earnest.
Yeah, again, you look at past national champions, preseason polls. You're looking for top 10, top 12 to see if some of those teams make sense future-wise. Let's get it. Hey, Pete Golding said it best. Spot the ball. That's and it. Let's go.
Yeah, spot the ball is such a coach phrase, isn't it? A lot of fans don't say it, but coaches, just spot the ball. Let's go play. Yeah. All right, when we come back, let's talk about what we saw in Major League Baseball last night. We're going to hear from Tarek Skubal after his first start as a Dodger, and George Lombard Jr. maybe getting some energy there in the boogie down. That's next right here. I'm Visa by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is over. The College Football Betting Guide is out right now. You sign up for VSiN Pro today. You're going to get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide. That features all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. You're also going to get the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can sign up today for as little as $9.99, or you can get a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you talking Major League Baseball from the night before. And the Dodgers, you had the Cubs. Nice call by you. Cubs get the 10-5 win against Tarek Skubal in his debut. He did pitch pretty well, though. 6 innings, 4 hits. 2 earned, 2 walks, did have 6 Ks in that loss. And Jensen, I'm curious because you would think a guy like that that's pitched in big-time games in Detroit and playoff games, and it still is that first time to make a first impression with your new guys. Let's hear from Skubal. Did he really have butterflies before making this what would be a routine start anywhere else, but not when it's your first one for the LA Dodgers?
Getting on that mound, first start for this new team, what was that just like for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to bed last night, you know, excited. It felt like, you know, my major league debut, you know, kind of same type of vibe in terms of, you know, the nerves running through. But I think that's all good stuff.
5-1 was the final. 10-5 was the night before. 5-1 yesterday was Skubal pitching very well despite that loss. But Jensen, you hear that, hey, it's still nerves, man. Like, I still get them, too. I'm sure you got them. And certainly the first time you go out there, you're always going to get them. Did you get them every time, or does it go away? I guess it will go away for Skubal once he gets to starts 2, 3, and 4 and beyond.
Yeah, unique position, right? Because it's the first day at school. You know, you're meeting new kids. You're coming to a new class, and I think that's also, it doesn't matter, you know, what you do as far as your career pedigree and all that. Even you hear some of the Hall of Famers that sign with new teams, and those first couple of times out, they just have that initial like, oh man, like it starts to feel like when I was a rookie all over again. But that being said, boy, did the defense come to play for Tarik Skubal early last night. Andy Páez had a great sliding catch. Kyle Tucker, a good one coming in. And then the one he needed to make, crashing into the right field wall, he did not make. That allowed the Cubs to eventually go ahead and score the go-ahead runs. They would go on to win it. But I think ultimately, and I'd said at the top, I think you go back and look at this stretch since the All-Star break, Dave, I think the concerning part for me is you're now, 17, 18 games in. Your ERA as a team is over 4.5. And, you know, even on the hitting side of it, I just wanted to bring up the numbers for conversational purposes here. You understand that this is a group that is still working through the Shohei Ohtani issues from, you know, the knee inflammation. So he's kind of doing his own maintenance, if you will. Then you look at some of the other hitters here. A couple of updates. Dalton Rushing is got a UCL problem. And yep. That's why you saw Ben Roethlisberger get acquired there. Hunter Fiducia also was acquired too. So they needed, you know, healthy bodies back there. Still waiting for Will Smith, who sounds like it could be a September return for him. But you've had some slumps here from Max Muncy and Mookie Betts. Back into the lineup there, Tommy Edman has struggled a bit. So, yeah, this is a team that, again, on paper, are they the best? Are they the most talented, the deepest? For sure. But this last three and a half weeks, Dave, they have looked very, very pedestrian when most of the year they have been pretty dominant.
And again, mentioned they did get swept at home by the Red Sox before going to Chicago. They could get swept here at Wrigley if they don't salvage the last game of the series tonight. That would be six in a row. And yes, you're right. You have swoons in 162, and it's still the Dodgers, the team to beat, and nobody's discounting that. But Jensen, it's like at some point you're like, hey, we don't like to get swept by anybody. I know the Red Sox, they won again, by the way, last night, beat the tar out of the White Sox. They remain red hot going into August. So maybe no shame in that, but you know, I guess in the clubhouses, Jensen, you're not going to talk about this sort of thing, but you feel it, right? You feel like, hey, I know we're really good. We know how good we are, but we're not playing really well right now, and we got to flip this switch here pretty soon.
Okay, so you obviously know what's happening. I mean, this is 3 weeks. This is not like, hey, it's a 5-7 game stretch, albeit they are on a 5-game losing streak right now. I still look at numbers, you know, for these National League futures and kind of where we are with the idea of the Dodgers being odds on favorite. I know you have a play on the Brewers to be the one seed there. I still think that is a pretty solid spot. I am interested more so in kind of where you would go now if you had to hit your wagon outside of a seeding. Would you want a share of the Brewers at +475? Would you want a share of the Cubs all of a sudden now going toe-to-toe with the defending champs and not only holding serve but looking pretty dominant in stretches here? They're at +750. It's a team that has really been a hot commodity here in the last 48 hours because of what they did at the trade deadline. Thoughts for you on the contenders there? Brewers are +475, Braves +550, Cubs +750. Those are the single digit shots behind the Dodgers at odds on -$1.10.
We'd have to see how the matchups went. But again, if you're the Brewers and if you can get that one seed, and I did play them at +525 to get that one seed, I think it just means more to them than they hope somehow. Maybe they don't see the Dodgers, you know, somebody beats them. And that team that somebody could be the Padres. I'm going to go right back to the well on the Padres. You know, I like this baseball team a lot. 30-1. I don't think they fear, ironically, they might fear the Cubs more than they would the Dodgers in a postseason wild card, you know, first round matchup somewhere after what happened last year in Chicago. So I almost look at the Padres at 30-1. I love what they did at the deadline, getting the two front end starters. To go with, I think, as I mentioned weeks ago here, I just thought eventually those guys would start hitting, and they have. Really, it's been since the All-Star break, they've been one of the better offenses out there. So I was kind of waiting for them to act like the names in the back of their jerseys, like the Machados of the world, and certainly Fernando Tatis Jr. He's been hitting for average all year, maybe a little bit more power. You're going to hope keeps coming his way. Jackson Merrill and the like. I really like that team. So for me, because I don't think they would be necessarily scared of the Dodgers, 30-1, that might be a team I'd want to take a flyer on. I really do worry about the Brewers in kind of that residue from a year ago and how easy it was for the Dodgers to sweep them away if they had to see him somewhere down the road. I'd actually feel better about the Padres in that spot than I would the Brewers in a matchup with the Dodgers somewhere. So again, you have to see how that plays out. Would they, you know, you have to get through the Phillies. That could be more difficult. The Cubs, obviously, we don't know what those matchups look like yet. But yeah, for a team to knock out the Dodgers, I'd take my shot with the Padres before I might anybody else in that National League as a long shot at 30-1. I kind of like that play. We're going to talk more about the Yankees as the show goes on today. George Lombard Jr. made his debut. You mentioned the defense and how spectacular that was for a kid coming up to play that position. And we know about the history there when it comes to Yankee shortstops making their debuts and coming up and being those prodigies. Maybe he's the next. He talked about that in those emotions yesterday for a youngster to go to the boogie down, get that home run, and get a Yankees victory in his debut.
What was your feeling just running the bases there after you hit the home run? What was going through your mind?
I mean, excitement. I don't, still kind of all processing, but yeah, it was really cool. And then, like, also, it, like I said, being a close game, and you know, it was a big run. So yeah, it was probably a moment, a swing, a day I won't forget forever.
Still processing. I love that. By the way, Jensen, I think the bigger point was you could hear that immediately where he went was if we needed the run. Like, he's already thinking team and how important mm-hmm. it was to get that, not the home run for him, but to get the run for the team in a 2-0 win. That says a lot to me. You know, I'm looking for those type things, team first before the individual. And I really like that. That's what I hear from a youngster who could have made it all about himself and he made it about the team.
I knew everything I needed to know watching his first AB, actually his first two ABs, where every teammate was top step. Not one guy, mm-hmm. at least that I could see, was sitting on the bench. They all wanted to see what the hype was about. And boy, did this kid deliver. It just feels, watching the body language, how he carries himself, the defensive wizardry already. I mean, Dave, these are high level, high difficulty plays. The play in the hole, and I agree 100% with Paul O'Neill last night. Haven't seen a double play turn like that for the Yankees all year long, and it was spectacular. The home run to boot, the way that he, even hearing his parents interviewed during the game, sometimes you need a jolt. Sometimes you need a little infusion, a little something to get the boys excited to come to the yard. Maybe, just maybe, this is the move that ultimately catapults the Yankees here after the trade deadline.
So what, two great defensive gems and a 2-0 victory for a new shortstop that used to wear number 2. Just saying, it's a lot of you're going to hear a lot of Derek Jeter stuff, though. Let's put it that way here from George Lombard Jr. If he keeps this up, great start to his Yankee career. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to join the program next. Going to talk a lot about what's going on here in college football and the betting guide that is out right now. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Always look forward to the conversations with JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, co-host of Money Moves, right here in the network, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And also Pod to the Futures podcast with Mitch Moss. Great listen there. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, we're excited. Obviously, I know you did a lot of yeoman's work on it as well. The college football betting guide that is out right now for everybody's perusal. Again, if you're listening to this and you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, $9.99 is an intro offer. There are better offers out there. But if you want to just get in because it's college football season, totally understand. I want to start on the Big Ten because Jensen, as I mentioned yesterday, JVT, is kind of like Godsmack. He stands alone in his pick of Ohio State to win the national championship. Are the Buckeyes not getting the love that I would expect them to get in the Big Ten of all conferences?
I mean, I think they are. They are the preseason favorite right now, and they are the number one team in the coaches' poll, correct? So I know that there was some consternation about what's going on with the coaches' poll, too. one of those Big Ten teams, Indiana, getting the second most first place votes, but finishing sixth, which is kind of weird. But, you know, it's funny. I think Stormy and I talked about this the other day. I don't know if it's a disrespect for Ohio State more so than it is that I think if you really analyze the teams at the top, there is not that much of a difference between the two, the three, if you want to include Indiana there. But I specifically think it's just Oregon and Ohio State. So from a pricing standpoint, like I know Stormy's high on the Ducks. She's got them to just make it to the Big Ten championship game. Some value in just over 2-1 to win the conference. I think it's more about buying in on the Ducks more so than it is shorting the Ohio State Buckeyes and the price that comes with that.
Yeah, it's a great discussion. I had you and Wes Reynolds tuned in yesterday running around town, and I think it is going to be a very interesting, you know, race for fourth, if you will. I think we get a pretty good idea who the three teams are that'd be favorites to get to the college football playoff, and then kind of the underbelly there of the Big Ten. Hey, we're going to talk Big 12 conference today, and first time we've been able to kind of ask you about it, and obviously with the whole Brendan Sorsby thing and Texas Tech looking to be another really great big-time force, where do you come down on maybe the contenders here in the Big 12? I know I picked BYU to win the conference for the College Football Betting Guide. I know that Utah is going to be in the conversation as well. Your handicap, JVT, on where the Big 12 sizes up in your eyes?
Yeah, I think I was talking about this. I can't remember who I was talking about with this with just the other day, but I think we are headed for a rematch of the Big 12 title game. Personally, I think we're going to get BYU. I think we're going to get Texas Tech. And, you know, I think there's not that much separating these two teams. And I think if you wanted to go with BYU to win this thing, I think it makes a ton of sense. If they were going to take a step forward, one of the things that does have to happen is I think Bear Bachmeyer's got to be a little bit better as a passer. One of the things that you really saw that stuck out about Bachmeyer last season was he put the ball in danger quite a bit. At a turnover worthy play rate of 4.3%, that's really high. You can't put the ball in danger that often. That's the amount of passes on attempts that are interceptable by the quarterback. That just can't really happen. You look down the stretch in the last four games alone, guys, and he had 9 turnover-worthy plays: Cincinnati, UCF, Texas Tech, Georgia Tech in the bowl game. And of course, that Texas Tech game was the conference championship. So he's got to be better in that regard. He even threw 2 picks in that game, only threw 111 yards against the Red Raiders. But Jensen, if he takes that step forward, I think it would make some sense that they're going to be able to beat Texas Tech. One of the things that I pointed out to Stormy last year that ultimately bit the Red Raiders in the ass was they're a team that was really, really, really reliant offensively on explosive plays. If you looked at the EPA per play on non-explosive plays versus what they were generating on some of those big ones, they weren't really moving the ball that well down to down. It was just they were generating big plays, and that killed them once they got into the postseason. And if they can't really improve that, then I think the games against teams like BYU are going to struggle. But here's the thing. Texas Tech's schedule is so easy in the Big 12. They should make it to the Big 12 championship game. But I think BYU is more than capable of beating, and then Bachmeyer takes those steps forward.
Texas Tech, by the way, 22-1 to win the whole thing this year. If you're looking for somebody a little bit down the beaten path, again, $9.99 gets you in right now to get that college football betting guide. And also, JVT, as you well know, when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you also get access to the NFL betting guide, which is out. And we're going to revise that here before we get to week one of the NFL season. We do have our first game tomorrow night, Canton, Ohio Hall of Fame game, Carolina against Arizona. The total is on the move, and I don't think this is going to be a surprise to you. It's already down a point, down to 35.5. It was 36.5 yesterday. Carolina is a 1.5 favorites. We know it's going to be Kenny Pickett getting the start against Carson Beck. Do you dabble in the preseason at all? Because I know some of our hosts, like Matt Humans, loves to find these angles, and others, like myself, sometimes tend to stay away and wait for the real action to begin in September.
Yeah, I think you'd like to, especially if you can get ahead or at least get on in line, we'll call it, with some of the information before some of the dramatic line moves happen, right? You're getting on information, guys who are going to start or not, what workload is. You really have to pay attention to a lot of these press conferences. And then Matt does a great job. I don't know if he's going to do it this year at Pavisan.com, but generally analyzing quarterback depth charts. You know, what you want on the back end of a depth chart is mobility, right? Like, you don't want guys that are just sticks in the mud. You want guys that are going to be able to move around, because offensive line play is really, really poor, especially when you get deep into these games. So you look at a team like the Arizona Cardinals, who are going to start Carson Beck in this game. And then afterwards you ask, well, what does that look like? Keaton Slovis is going to be back there too. So maybe you're going to be able to survive some of that. And for Carolina, and Stormy and I were discussing this the other day too, I think you kind of like the back end of this roster for Carolina. We'll see how long Kenny Pickett plays, but then you have Haynes King coming in. He's got some good mobility coming out of Georgia Tech. And I think you'll feel confident that you're going to be able to at least get some semblance of quarterback play that is good enough for this setting. So I think it makes sense that Carolina would be a 1-point favorite. But I'll say this, Some reports are that Carson Beck, allegedly, you know, with these pads now on, has looked a lot better. And he was my dark horse to win Rookie of the Year for the Arizona Cardinals. I think there's a chance that he's going to get out there with a good chunk of season left and just put up some yardage and some numbers for a team that's going to be trailing a ton. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But either way, I think the Cardinals might be a play on if a lot of these snaps are going to go to Beck in the preseason for sure.
Very good. Right down the road from me tomorrow, we will see a lot of the backups and get our eyes on Carson Beck for the first time in a quote-unquote real NFL game. The real games are in earnest now here, JBT. Trade deadline behind us for Major League Baseball. Already seeing some of the early returns. Luis Arraez, big for the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday. Your guy, Joe Adell, right here, Progressive Field, on base. It felt like every at-bat. The Guardians end up falling, though, to Dave's New York Mets 6-2. I still think the Guardians are a bit fugazi. Overall sense for you, first time we've been able to talk to you since the deadline has been completed. Any takeaways and anything that impacts maybe some futures for you on the Major League Baseball front?
Yeah, I thought there was a couple. I think first and foremost, I think the Red Sox are now good enough to win the American League. Like, so Jensen, you know, like a month and a half ago, you know, I had the Red Sox. We talked about it on the show. We bet them to win or to make the postseason right at 6-1. And one of the things that I kept saying was, like, I don't want to buy on them to win the American League because their lineup numbers, like, their offense wasn't really good, right? Going into the trade deadline, they were 20th in weighted runs created plus, really middle of the pack in a lot of different offensive statistics. But we've really seen this offense kind of come to life, but they just needed more. And so they, of course, added that, especially a catcher. Like, they were, what, 26th in weighted runs created plus from the position. They've been absolutely awful. So Rutschman's going to be great when he's finally healthy. You know about Meade as well. So I think that they're now good enough that if you wanted to look at them to win the American League, it's worth it. And the other part of that equation, by the way, as I brought this up yesterday on the show, the market seems to believe that Aaron Judge is coming back. And then you listen to Brian Cashman talk about essentially praying that he's going to stay on track in terms of his health. And I don't know if that we should assume that Judge is going to be back for the New York Yankees. And if we're right and that there's a question there, then the Yankees are mispriced at the top of the American League, and a team like Boston is definitely worth buying into. I also think the other thing, you know, you mentioned the Guardians. I kind of like thinking that they can pull this off, at least in terms of the division. I don't know if that at the top of that thing that you're looking at the American League Central and thinking that, you know, this is not something the Guardians can overcome. They're three games back of the White Sox. We saw the White Sox yesterday. Those aforementioned Red Sox pounding them into oblivion. I know they took two out of four, or excuse me, split with the Yankees and then took three out of four before heading into that series with the Rays. But I just think that this team is flawed, and I think the Guardians at the very least can catch them in the Central. I don't know about the big picture, but betting them to win that division, I think, is definitely worth it as well.
You know, it's interesting, too, because it feels like, JVT, when you look at the American and the National League, the American does feel much more wide open here. With the recent struggles by the Dodgers, five in a row, they lose today, they get swept by both the Red Sox and the Cubs. Is there any danger there, or is it really just that top heavy in the National League? And if it's not the Dodgers, it's going to be the Brewers. And if it's not the Brewers, it's going to be the Braves. Like, do you see it that way? It's a divisional winner or bust in the National League?
I mean, I think so. I guess the one thing that you would throw into the ring is the Chicago Cubs, right, Dave? Because of the trade deadline acquisitions, you go and you get Gausman, and there's some thought that, you know, you add your rotation and they're going to be a little bit better. As we saw yesterday, Assad's numbers at Wrigley have actually been really good, and he gave them a really good effort yesterday against Scooble. So maybe there's going to be something there that he can build on. But look, you guys know this well, right? It's August. It's a 5-game losing streak for the Dodgers. Like, Jan, who cares? Wake them up when they get to the postseason. They're going to be absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I brought this up yesterday where you like a lot of what the Cubs did at the deadline. They fill the needs, but at the end of the day, in a universe in which they exist in the same league as the Los Angeles Dodgers, do you really think that's going to be enough to beat them? Maybe, as they just swept them, maybe that's the answer to the question. But I think when you're talking about facing the Dodgers potentially in a best of seven, it is just going to be hard in a setup that is there to make sure the best team wins. Should make sure, but the high probabilities that the better team's going to win, that you're going to win that series against Los Angeles. So maybe in a shorter series, they could pull it off. But I just feel like it's really hard to buy in on any of these National League teams.
Yeah, minus -10 here for the Dodgers to win the pennant. You can't get the Cubs at plus +750 if you like what you see and have seen so far in the north side. JVT, great stuff as always, man. We'll be tuning you in with Stormy later on today, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And check out Pod to the Futures with Mitch Moss. Give him a follow at me, JVT. More NFL news, injuries, and big contracts going out. That's next right here, Beeson by the Books.
Tuned in.
and by the books right here on VSiN.
It's almost time. Preseason football begins tomorrow, so no better time than now to book your trip to Las Vegas. Winter Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they're going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. Already did my pilgrimage out there. It was fantastic. I got my boy John Chu is going out there to get his Winner's Circle Proxy set up. Jensen, you're going to be going out there as well. And a couple entries that you're going to be having. Is it going to be Survivor or just solo millions to go with our team entry that we do now for a second year in a row?
Yeah, solo millions. I'm going to see if Michelle wants to dive into Survivor next year. Ooh. Again, you know, this is very March Madness-esque, Dave, where you a lot of our great female listeners and viewers, they have a unique system, okay? And again, Michelle won the bracket pool we were in this year with friends and family, and it was by a wide margin. And she did all of 5 minutes of watching college basketball all year. It was the night before the deadline. She went right through it. She made two brackets. She gave me the phone and she's like, well, what do you think? And I'm looking at mine. And I'm like, holy hell, how did you get to some of this stuff? Like, it's just something. And sure, she ends up getting with the UConn comeback against Duke, ends up getting the perfect Final Four. Unbelievable.
Okay. Well, then you better sign her up next year with Survivor, because she might just have the Midas touch here, Jensen. We don't question how. We just ask how many at the end. She's getting more than most, that's for sure. If you're asking how many, it's a lot when you look at some of the dollar signs that are being associated with some of these big contracts that have been given out and some extensions. Zay Flowers might be the most shocking. Hey, really nice player there in Charm City. I don't think anybody's doubting that. But I don't know how many people saw a four-year, $140 million extension with 108 of that guaranteed. So Jensen, Zay Flowers is now being paid like one of the very best receivers in all of football. Again, this is not to be disrespectful at all. Get what you can get out there in the marketplace. But I don't put Zay, let's say, in the top five of my receiving core out there in the NFL. A very nice receiver, a very certainly a number one receiver, but not on my upper echelon of receiver. Were you surprised by this contract?
Yeah, you almost gave me a little Happy Gilmore throwback. Maybe I'll eat some hay. What do you say?
Okay. Ray.
That was good. Okay. So to reiterate, here's where the contractual value is, and you tell me where you would rank. Zay Flowers, same total contractual value as Justin Jefferson. They were both 25, age 25 when they signed their deal. Justin Jefferson back in 2024, Zay Flowers here this year. So $140 million total 4 years. Just ahead of them, Drake London, age 24, signing this year. 141 and change is his four-year deal. Ja'Marr Chase, age 25, last year, his four-year $161 million deal. And then, of course, Jaxon Smith-Njigba this offseason, age 24, 168.6. Now, would you put Zay Flowers in that echelon? And I know it's a difference of about $28 million as far as total contractual value. Does that line up for you with production? And again, you got to have the right trigger man to do it. Are you willing to commit that at age 25, knowing those are only the four guys, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Ja'Marr Chase, JSN. Those are the only four guys ahead of Zay Flowers as far as total contractual value.
I mean, look, I like paying your own. I like paying the guys that you drafted in-house. That's what Zay Flowers is. So I do appreciate that. And that's kind of that Raven way, right? They're going to pay their guys. But, you know, we talk about this a lot in sports in general, which is, are you paying for past performance? Or are you paying for what the future performance is going to look like? Because now you're going to pay him on the echelon of the top five receivers in the league. And I don't think he is. And that's not to be disrespectful, because I think he's a very good player. So for my money, no, I probably would not have given that. But I understand why Baltimore is doing that for continuity. And clearly, when you make moves like this in the front office, is you're saying, this is Lamar's guy, and I want to pay my guy, and I want my guy to be happy. Zay Flowers is going to be very happy with that extension to get paid in that echelon that he has. Like, I'm looking at guys like CeeDee Lamb that I'm certainly going to take over him. You mentioned JSN. You mentioned certainly the duo of wide receivers they have in Cincinnati, I can make a case that I'd want before Zay Flowers. But really good player, a really good part of that offensive machine that is in Baltimore. And if they're going to have the success that I know you think they're going to have this year, he's going to be a big part of it. It can't just be about the quarterback and about the running back that might be starting to get a little bit longer in the tooth, although the King still looks really good right now. I thought this move in Chicago was significant and also warranted, that Darnell Wright has gotten a big-time deal. And sometimes, because we focus so much on skill players, on the sexy players like a wide receiver, running back, quarterback, you forget about the big nasties. Four-year, $116 million extension, and that's going to be about 93 of that is going to be guaranteed. Jensen, I like those moves sometimes more than I do the quote-unquote sexy wide receiver money that they give out there. Their offensive line, I've mentioned this on the program before, was really, truly, again, we're going to look at quarterback and look at head coach. It was the new imported offensive line a year ago that I thought was really the impetus for the success Chicago had offensively last year.
Darnell Wright, now $4 million more than Penei Sewell to be the highest paid right tackle in the sport. Penei Sewell signing at age 23 back in 2024 for 4 years, 112. Darnell Wright now 4 years, 116. Again, you knew, and ironic we bring up Penei Sewell because Ben Johnson coming over from Detroit, well, he knew why the success would be investing in the offensive line. Look no further than Sonic and Knuckles and keeping Jared Goff upright. What happened year over year? Caleb Williams stays upright. Even the mobility factor allows him a little extra time. But I agree with you. Great investment on the Bears side. I haven't had a chance to really dig in deep with you. And ironic, over the weekend when we were at Bedford Springs, Michelle's brother-in-law is a huge born and raised Chicago fan, big Bear fan, obviously high expectations for them. And I think it's amazing to look at year over year where fans, not necessarily the overreaction, but the expectation level, the baseline just exponentially moves higher. Win total at 9.5 is even money to the over right now for Chicago. And I know you and I have kind of looked a little bit at them and said, okay, but where do you fall on where they are? Because early part of the season, if they get out strongly, their futures are going to cascade down. Right now, they are 24-1 to win it all. NFC futures at plus 1250 to win the North is plus 305. Any investment opportunity in your eyes in any of those markets?
It's a fade team for me, initially, first blush. Look, they had incredible wins last year. But I say that and go, I don't know that that's repeatable, to be able to do it in the manner in which they did a year ago. I mean, they were the ultimate cardiac kids in figuring out ways at the gun to get this stuff done. So, look, I think their division's a monster. I really do. I think the Vikings are going to be better than people think, too. So because of that, and if everybody is expecting the Lions to bounce back, I don't know if I'm one of those people, but I do think the Lions will be very good. And the Packers are going to be interesting. We're going to talk about the Packers here, too, because, Jensen, when you look at the Bears and you look at this division in whole and in total, Packers did lose their defensive coordinator. He's now down there in Miami as their head coach. And you lost Micah Parsons as well. And, you know, when are you going to get Micah Parsons back? You see week 6 there against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Well, Micah had some interesting comments on when he thinks he might be able to be back in tow. And this is what Micah had to say about his impending return.
Yeah, I think it's very realistic. I just gotta, well, as me and the staff we gotta put the work in. We gotta get to the point where I'm feeling great and we say, Micah, you'll be in a really good phase. Is it possible? Yes. So I wouldn't say it's not possible, but at the same time, in these next, how many weeks is that?
It's week 6.
10 weeks? Was it 10, 12 weeks from now? I don't know. We got to do our part to make it possible, but, you know, it's not off the board, but we got to put the work in.
He's doing the timeline for that week 6 game against the Cowboys on Sunday night. He wants to play in that game. You can understand why, right, Jensen? But, like, the other part of that, when you hear that, like, to me, he said, we got to put in the work. I like everything Micah said there, but it did show me that he's not sure. He doesn't know when exactly he's going to be back, right? So he's doing that timeline in his head in real time. It says to me, Jensen, it's kind of like we're talking about with Aaron Judge. We don't know when some of these superstars are going to come back in their respective sport.
I am fascinated by the early portion of the Packers schedule.
Ooh.
Three out of your first four on the road. If you hold serve and see kind of where it lays out for them, you're actually in a good spot when Micah comes back. But boy, you better get one of the Vikings or the Bears games knowing what's on deck there for the divisional schedule.
It does look manageable early, and then it gets tougher late for that Packers schedule. So, yeah, you want Micah back in the fold, certainly, for some of those big boys down the road. I got a great hour coming up here. Of course, going to have Wes Reynolds on before this show is over, talking some golf, a lot of NFL, preseason football, beyond. It's all next right here at VSiN by the Books.